And this person obviously refused to do so because he was a liar. So here again, this is an example of how Ibn Taymiyyah would openly challenge the people of innovation and the people that were calling to misguidance. So he was a scholar in fiqh and usul, and he was also a mujahid. And his approach, or the stance that he took with regard to the Tatar, the Mongols, is clear evidence of this. And how when they came and attacked the lands of the Muslims, he himself would go to the kings of the Muslims and say, "Verily we are your flock, for we are under your command. It's obligatory upon you to defend us. And if you don't defend us, then let at least go and defend ourselves with your armies." And he went then and he fought against, he made jihad against the Tatars. He also would refute the people of philosophy, Ahlul Kalam. And he explained to them the corruption of their ways. And that they were people who would show people or make out to people that they knew what they were talking about. They were people knowledgeable about philosophy and theology and logic, yet they themselves did not understand what they were talking about. So he would defeat them in their own fields of knowledge. He was also an imam with regard to his worship, with regard to his humility. In his salah and his dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are clear examples of how he was a person of great humility and worship. And so these are reasons why we can call this person Shaykh al-Islam. When someone has mastered or perfected so many different aspects of Islam and also has benefited the Muslims in so many different areas of Islam, we can correctly call him to be Shaykh al-Islam. And the Shaykh said that if he is not Shaykh al-Islam, or if he is not given this title, then I do not know of Islam having a Shaykh. And this is by way of refuting, or this is against, as different from what Al-Kawthari said about him, this person who criticized Ibn Taymiyyah. And rather, he said that one time he gives a story about Ibn Taymiyyah, he lies about him and says that this person is he who, when a Bedouin would come to him and ask him a fatwa about talaq, he would make that haram for him, and then when that Bedouin would give him some money, he would then make it halal for him. And this man, his evil isn't just restricted to Ibn Taymiyyah, but even it goes far to criticize and to insult the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Verily, his position is known to everyone, and he's filled this religion with good and blessings. And someone like him was also Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, who renovated this religion after so much shirk and innovations had come into this religion. He brought the people back to the correct understanding of Tawheed, and he taught the people their correct religion, him. And we can see its effect in amongst the Muslims today. So if you ask anyone, any Muslim who has a correct understanding of Tawheed today, this understanding would always go back to either them reading some of the books of Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab himself, or the books of his sons or his grandsons. And his good is well known and is apparent in society today, as is the good and the blessings of Shaykh Ibn Baz. And the Shaykh said that this description of Shaykh al-Islam is also befitting to be given to Ibn Baz. For verily, he mastered many different types of knowledge, many different sciences of Islam. And the effects of his good are present in so many different aspects of this world, in so many different areas of this world and the lives of the Muslims. We find that there's no markaz, there's no center, Islamic center, except that they either have a tazkiyah, a reference from Shaykh Ibn Baz. Either this markaz, Islamic center, has a tazkiyah, a reference from Shaykh Ibn Baz, or he himself actually gave financial support to that. And go on again to the du'at, and how many du'at learned from his lectures and his tapes, how many orphanages that he will provide for. These are all examples of why Ibn Baz, in his opinion, should also be given this title as being Shaykh al-Islam. Another great benefit that we had from Shaykh al-Islam was in his clear way of understanding the religion, in his way that he would approach the rulers, and that he would not face them and speak about their evil openly to the people. Rather, he taught them to give nasiha to the ulama in the correct way, to order the good and to forbid the evil, and to be patient upon the evil and the hurt that we feel from our rulers. He taught the people to be patient, to obey their rulers in all that is good, and not to obey them in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught them through his way and through his teachings and through his own practice not to bring about and not to create problems in society by talking about the problems or talking about the mistakes, or looking out for the mistakes of the rulers and then spreading them or talking about them on the platform, on circles, to the general people who wouldn't be able to understand them correctly. And so to summarize, this description of Shaykh al-Islam is not for everyone, rather it's for someone who has mastered very different aspects of Islam and whose benefit is in different areas of Islam. This is the one who is given this title of Shaykh al-Islam.
Hello.